Gospel reading for tonight is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. For the midweek services, we are thinking of questioning what people really know about Jesus. And a good place to start is the first one who gets the information about Jesus, and that's Mary. We could go back further in the Old Testament. We will look at that in the next week. But Mary is the first one that gets that name and understands how this child is actually going to really come about, because she's the one that's going to deliver this child. And Mary, as it says, ponders all these things in her heart. She holds on to this. But in that wondering and pondering, of course, that question that comes about and has to come about for a young girl: how can this be, since I'm a virgin? Can't have a child. I haven't a husband at this point. And she was betrothed already to Joseph, but they were not together yet. And so she questioned this possibility. And then certainly she must have wondered, you know, "Are you sure you want to use me, Lord?" I'm thinking the awesome responsibility, not just the idea that, first of all, you get an angel appearing to you and you're a young teenager, and here's an angel now and telling me I'm going to give birth to the Son of God. You know, that's why angels always say, "Fear not," when they show up, because whatever they're saying is something you should probably fear a little bit. And this is something that would be worthy of some fear inside. You know, this is, you know, we get that fear, you know, we're good about that. We say that over and we should fear and love God, fear and love God. This is where some of that healthy fear comes in. Are you sure about this one, God? Because this is a pretty awesome task. And then God gives Mary that wonderful song that we call the Magnificat. And that comes from the first few words in the Latin translation of the song that Mary sings, where we normally think of it from the King James Version, I said that Magnified. And that's where that term, the Magnificat, comes in. And what a beautiful song, because as she gets this word that she's going to bear this child, she goes into the song that the Lord gives her that truly not just shows that she was pondering this in her heart, yes, but she's also glorifying God aloud. She's giving witness and testimony to what he has done. This amazing love of God. He chose Mary. He chose Mary over all the women in the world to be the mother of his only son. She didn't deserve it. She hadn't earned it. There was nothing about her and her life that said that this was the only person possible. But God chose her out of his mercy. Out of God's mercy, he chose her as one who was a humble servant of his. And then she acknowledges that humility even as she speaks in her song, too, to the Lord. But he chose her. And that's important for us to remember. It's not a matter of anything special about Mary from the beginning. In some theologies, they want to suggest that even Mary was born of a virgin, perhaps. Or that Mary was sinless, perhaps. And there is nothing in Scripture to give any indication of this. Mary was a person like being one of us. A sinful person, but a child of God that God had seen as one that was faithful to him. And he used her. And she faithfully follows, saying, you know, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Which is the good response. After you get throw out your little questions there, how can this be, Lord? And he gets a chance to tell you. You say, okay, but I'm going to just say yes, Lord. And what a great response is that. When we say, yes, Lord. There's that then opportunity after that yes where she just breaks into magnifying God. And would that we would do the same as we receive this news about Jesus and learn about him in our life, that we would just go about then magnifying the Lord. I'm not saying you have to make your life a musical. Don't break any song in the grocery store, you know. But that would be cool if you did let me know. I want to be there. Yeah, get my phone out. We'll get on YouTube quick. But we should be excited about this. She was excited. She wanted to tell about this. She wanted to talk about this, what she knew. And I think that popular song is that from 1991, Mary, Did You Know? The person who wrote the lyrics to that was named Mark Lowry. No relation. None whatsoever. Would be cool, but none whatsoever. He wrote the lyrics to that song, and what an incredible song that was. Michael English is the person who actually performed it in 91, and both of them were part of the Gaither vocal crew. So they were involved with the Gaither vocal, you know, this is post Bill Gaither trio things, but the Gaither vocal crew. And as this was brought out, it was a huge hit, still a hit. Pentatonix had an even very popular version of it. And of course, in Arlington, we're fond of Pentatonix because they're from here. So what a great thing, too. But well, Mary, did you know that song? It's interesting. The things that it ponders, if you will, you know, did you know that your baby boy was going to one day walk on water is the way it starts? And then it goes from there to the healing the deaf or giving sight to the blind. Mary, did you know all these things? And interestingly enough, the questions at one particular point in the song, it's really just a paraphrase of Isaiah 35 where it's talking about that Jesus was this one was going to be one that did heal, that did give sight, that did give hearing. And so the song, in a sense, did she know? You know what? She might have known these particular things. Because that's part of what the scriptures said. And depending on how well-versed she was in the actual scriptures themselves and in the prophet Isaiah, she might very well have known about that. It's very possible because the Lord had already revealed those things. Did you know that you're... Baby boy would one day rule the nations? That's a great line in that song. And I think, did she know that? And yes, she did, because of the Annunciation of Mary. She was told, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord God, and he'll be on the throne of David and reign over the house of Jacob forever. So, yeah, she knew that too. She did actually know that. And then, with this knowledge, what does she do? She breaks into her song. So, you know, having a song about Mary, did you know, works great. The Magnificat, it's a great song too, because that's what she does. It's glorifying God. She doesn't focus on herself. I'll take what I know about God and I'll be prideful now. Look at what I've got. Let me tell you, Mary, I'm in that class of folks that I know others that do what I do. They're proud about what they know. And glad to let you know how proud they are about what they know. There are a lot of preachers that get on the preaching voices, they get in the preaching stools, or pulpit stands, or whatever it wants to do. They're proud to let you know what they know, and make sure that you understand how well they know what they know and are right about it. That's all well and good if it's all true. It's usually pretty true, but sometimes there's a little too much self going on in those things and the focus of what it is. It's not about what we know, it's about who we know, Jesus. What do you do with that knowledge? There's the real key. How much you know is going to be worthless unless you put it in that picture. Mary takes what she knows, and she ponders it truly in her heart, but she also breaks into glorifying God, magnifying the Lord. It's not about her. Look at what I know. I'm not going to elevate myself and take credit for what I have knowledge of. And sometimes we end up doing things like that. We look at our lives as look at what we've done, what we've accomplished, look at what we know. We've arrived when we lose sight of what our focus really needs to be. And that's on the one that we know and what he's done. It's not about us. It's to focus back off of ourselves. Mary did not keep the focus on herself. There's a place where some churches have gotten that wrong. Too much focus on Mary. Humble servant, mother of our Lord, praise the Lord for her. But now let's talk about Jesus. That's what she does. Glorify the Lord for the Son of God. What did she know? Right? There's a story. There's a story about a man and his wife that went out to a fair. And he saw one of those scales where you put the coins in and it spits out your weight and like a little fortune, if you will, or something about you. And he went up there and he put in his coins, he stood on the scale, and it spits out this card and it says, "You are handsome and gregarious, and people think much of you. You will be a great success." And he takes that card and he hands it to his wife and says, "See what this thing says about me?" And she reads it. She starts to smirk, gets a little chuckle, she says, "Yeah. And it even got your weight wrong." No, it's just not about us. It never has been. And that's what we need to remember. It's not about us. Right? What did Mary know? Mary knew so much. She knew that this Jesus was going to be the Savior of the world, as the angel of heaven. The name of Jesus. She knows this is the Savior. She knows what the angel has told to Joseph, certainly as well. That Joseph is not going to hide from her what's going on because she talked to him. I mean, we've got this exchange where she learns more that it hears the affirmation from her cousin Elizabeth. "I knew that the child in you was the Son of God. The child in my womb leapt 6 months older." She knew. Elizabeth had to have exchanged in that conversation with certain. It would have taken place. What she knew is Elizabeth knew about her child, being the one that would announce this child, Jesus. Mary knew that this was God. He didn't take it lightly. She glorified the Lord for it. She sung his praise. She made sure that her witness was there immediately. Her witness was there. I wish we had a little bit more about Mary so that we could know how things went over the next few months. What did she continue to say? How did she continue to talk? But one thing's for certain, she didn't hide the fact that this was the child of God. This was the child of God, and the witness was clear. We have the opportunity in what we know about God to God glorify him all the time, magnify the Lord, yet do we? What do we do with the knowledge we have? Maybe we do a little too much pondering within our hearts and not enough magnifying the Lord in our voices. When you're given some exciting news, you want to tell about it. When you're given some good news that works, some good news that comes, some good news from the doctor, you share it. You want other people to know, and they rejoice with you. And then we're given the greatest news of all, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Savior of the world. And what do we do? Christmas is the opportunity for us to do something with it like none other.
that the world is prime right now. The opportunity is there right now, like no other time of the year. The lights, the music, gifts, the ridiculous commercials. That's, if you will, really, that's the value of Christmas right now. Certainly it's not about the packages and the trees or the lights. It's not about the decorations. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Because it's an opportunity to witness. It's an opportunity to get the word out. It's an opportunity to show the world Jesus. Other than that, there is no real reason for the church to celebrate Christmas. We can observe it just like any other Sunday. But we want to make this a deal where we can get this out into the public. We want to keep it for them. And we want to continue to make Christmas big and bold and in your face to the world because they need it. Take the knowledge you have of God, ponder it, hold it, love it, but I'll be bold about it. Share it. Sing about it. At least in the car. With the rooms up. Or join the choir. But tell others. Talk about it. Tell them. This is the time when they are primed and ready to listen. Say Merry Christmas to people. And if they don't say it back, throw in a God loves you too. If they do say it back, smile and ponder that in your heart. But keep the word before you. Keep the word out in the world. Take this opportunity to talk about it. To share the joy that you found. It's been revealed to you. Fear not! Well, maybe you fear a little. But don't let the fear stop you from sharing what you know. You share it. If the world needs you, we need to let it out. It's worth it. Name. May the peace of God pass it on and your hearts, your minds, and your lives. And Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God.